Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I'm glad you did. Very, very cool. Hey, I want to thank all of our new listeners and whatnot. Looks like we were on the Blog Talk Radio homepage a couple times last week, and that's cool, man. That's cool. Every time we are on the homepage, they feature us. They've got like 11,000 different podcasters on there, and every time we're on there, man, our listenership just bounces up. So welcome all the new listeners. Very cool. Very, very glad you checked out the show. I'm glad you like it. Very cool. Let's see. Tonight is a Wednesday. That's right. That's right. We've got a very, very cool guest on tonight. I really, really like his music. All the way from Montreal, Canada, Mr. Ralph Pylon. I'm sorry. Ralph Pylon. Ralph, I said I would never forget it again, and I forgot it. Crazy.
How are you, Ralph? How are you?
Good.
Pretty good. Bringing yourself.
I'm trying to maintain, man. I'm trying to maintain. Hey, how is Montreal today?
Getting better. Like, spring's coming, so we just got rid of the last little bits of snow here.
Nice.
So
nice.
Yeah.
Getting better. Nice. Well, you know, it's that I grew up outside of Detroit, and there's about a month period this time of year where, you get rid of the snow, the sky start, at least in Detroit, start getting blue again as opposed to winter.
Yeah, exactly. This is pretty similar. Here right now, the cool thing about it is it's maple syrup season, so we're just crazy about it.
Well, yeah, I was curious about, Raph, was you're a fantastic musician. I mean, just top rate. Just really, really good at what you do. Were you always a musical kid, growing up and stuff?
I had a funny path growing up. It's just like I was playing drums at like 3 years old. You know, and I started like I was crazy about it. Like literally, you had to bring my little, you know, like Mickey Mouse drum kit. You had to bring it outside for me. To play in the backyard. Like, if not, I'd be inside, just not, there's no way I'd see the sun, like, just crazy. But after, I think, I was living in Ottawa and Ontario back then, and I came back to Montreal around 5-ish, I think, and then from then on, it's just like, I found out, I figured, like, I'm Canadian, so obviously, if you know, I got in touch with hockey, and then from there, it just kind of became my second love. And then I just started playing hockey like crazy for like all of my childhood, all of my teenage years. Like I even played juniors.
Mm-hmm.
So like I still play to this day when I have some time, like on Friday nights and stuff with friends and all that, right? But I became more of a sports guy than anything. And then around 14, 15, you know, when you try to get the girls and everything, and you get like different, you know, you got a different approach to life from then on. And then, you know, you're trying to figure out who you are and everything, all those things. And then at some point, I just, like, ended up doing a show with, like, a guitar for some reason. And then everybody started, like, rotating around me at that point. And I was like, wow, okay, this is, like, first time this happens. So then from there, it's just like, you know, okay, well, I can do a couple things with that, apparently, and it works. So I'll just keep working on that. And it turns out, you know, that's what I'm doing now.
No, fantastic. Well, you know, it doesn't surprise me. I tell you, I talk to a lot of people. All of my friends, and always have been. I'm a painter by trade. That's what I do. I paint pictures of people. But all of my friends, they're either musicians or they're making movies. You know, that's just how it always has been. And it doesn't surprise me that you were so involved with hockey and or sports in general, because all the really good musicians I know, not all, but I would say 95% of them have some sort of sports background. And I think the reason, this is just my theory, is that what sports does with kids especially is it shows it illustrates if you work hard at something, you practice at something, you get good at it. And you can see that improvement.
Right.
And music's kind of the same thing. You know what I mean? If you keep working at it, well, you know, anything's that way. But especially, you know, it shows them. So that doesn't surprise me that you had that hockey background. That's cool, man. That is
cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're right, though. It's true that, like, hockey and sports in general, the correlation is very direct. It's just like, you work out, you practice, you'll be good. It's just like, you know, there's always like a little talent factor in there, but, you know, generally, like,
absolutely,
sports is one of the places where it's just, it's really, really straightforward. It's just like, if it works, it works. But, you know, music, being music, it's kind of, it's a different approach, but, and there's a lot of, like, factors that get in the way when you try to work through that. And obviously, it's you know, it's music business, so, you know.
Right.
The word business is in there for a reason, but you know it's all for, I guess, the best at the end of the day. So it's all good, and you know I'm happy to be a part of that. So.
Well, fantastic. Now you were the lead singer for there's a fantastic Canadian band called Bridgeway, and you were with them.
Yeah.
Tell us how that happened and whatnot.
What's that?
Tell us how that came about.
Oh, like, well, I mean, you know, that's just me figuring out, like I said, from high school, you know, that I wanted to do music in life. So I was like, yeah, okay, cool. But, you know, I've always been like a fan of most of the things I was listening to was bands. You know, I literally was raised with the Beatles. And then after that is just, you know, a bunch of Canadian bands and, you know, stuff like
that. Oh, yeah.
Foo Fighters and whatnot, Maroon 5 and all those things were pretty much, you know, hip when I was in high school and all that. So, you know, I pretty much, you know, they brought me up to what I am today, but I wanted to have a band of my own back then. So probably just
right.
Because I love that feeling, you know, of, you know, like being like a team or being probably coming from sports too, you know, like having a bunch of guys and do your stuff. So I
that's right. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah. Obviously. Let's go. Basically, what I did is I decided to go to college in music, and, you know, my two targets were, you know, number one, improve myself as a musician, but target number two was, like, to meet people who would be able to start a band, I'd be able to start a band with. So that's what I did, that's what happened, and that's how I met most of the guys who were part of Bridgeway. And, you know,
nice.
we had a good time for a couple of years with that. It, you know, some of the guys... I think the ambition was a little different back then because, you know, right now I'm more heading towards an international mentality in terms of like how I make my music and how I present it. Whereas we had a little more of a local approach back then. Well, obviously, you know, everybody's growth is different too as artists and stuff like that. You got to start somewhere. But apart from that, though, the music itself, I still recommend it, and I'm still going to play it live because that's some of the songs we did were just really, really great.
Killer.
And I really love playing them, you know.
Right. Well, that's very true. I'm a little older than you, and I remember being a kid. My parents had one of those giant satellite dishes, and not like the ones you see now, but like the big, looked like NASA right. or something was at our house. And we used to get in. And MTV, this is back when all these music channels were starting. MTV was all right, you know, but there was a lot of – this back in the 80s, everybody always says, you know, oh, the 80s was all good music. I said, no, there was a lot of bad music, too, in the 80s. You know, it was – you had to wait to get some good music. But one of the stations that you didn't – that was so much better than the American MTV was the Canadian Much Music. We would tune – my friends would come from miles around, and we'd tune that in. And some of the Canadian music just was very exciting and very different at the time. And I think that carries on to today, you know. There's a lot of good music coming out of Canada today. And a lot of really good musicians are Canadian. So maybe it's in the water up there. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Really, yeah. It's hard to explain, but it's true. Like, the thing that I realize is me being from Montreal, you know, we have a different market because we're very bilingual and we have a very, you know, French prominent market. There's a lot of the musicians and the singers that we have here that are part of a market that a lot of people in the States don't hear about because they're singing in French and all that, you know, but but there's a bunch of good artists here that I'm listening to that I see here and there, and, you know, like, it's crazy here when you say, like, their own magazines, their own award shows and all that, you know, like, it's pretty nuts, but it's fun at the same time because, you know, it gives them an opportunity to shine as French artists, but, you know, for me, obviously, it's a different path because, I don't know, it's always been a question of just, like, you know, what I... You know, I think the way I see it is, like, for words, it's the same thing. Like, you being a painter, you'll get it. It's just like I keep you know, here it's a real topic. You know, like the fact that I'm singing in English and all a bunch of my friends that are singing in English is like, why are you doing that, right? And for me, it's just like my example is pretty simple. It's just like, well, if I want to paint the sky orange because that's the color that I like, who are you to question it?
You know? Right. Exactly.
So
and it's very true. And you don't want to be totally, I mean, you want to, of course, give chops where you can, but you don't want to isolate and pigeonhole yourself into one thing.
Exactly.
I've seen people
and, you know,
do
for
that.
Me, it's always been, yeah, exactly. And for me, it's always been a question of staying open. You know, just a month ago, I released two little songs that I did here. It's just like a little concept album to introduce my new project. And one of the songs in French, because I felt like it made sense. And, you know, I wanted to give a little gift to my French Canadian fans who, you know, followed Bridgeway for years and all that. So I did that. And I was really happy about, you know, how it sounded and everything. Obviously, every time I listen to myself in French, I'm like, hey, I got a little, you know, I'm grinning a little bit. And I'm like, hey, man, that sounds weird, but I think it works at the end of the day, and it's fine, you know.
Oh, it's a great song. It's a great song. I've been playing the video in promo for the our show here tonight all week long. A Cause de Toi, fantastic, great song, you know, and a cool video, too, for that. Of you singing. Yeah, absolutely.
It's funny how it came about because it was totally random. It's just like we had two guys who came in and just, like, did – basically, like, they just documented, you know, the whole thing. And we started looking through the videos, and we went like, hey, you know what? This could actually be the official video. And I just sat down with a friend of mine, the edits and everything, and he came about with the idea of just like, hey, I don't know why, but this feels like black and white. And then my brain started running, like, okay, we have a 40s movie right now. We got to do, like, the credits and everything, freaking –
right,
and it turned out into this little like black and white movie with the video, like the reel at the top and everything. I was like, man, that's actually pretty cool. I'm happy about it. You know?
Oh, absolutely, it's fantastic and a great song too, a great track. It one of the things I really like, Raph, that is great. I think in you gaining popularity, especially here in the States, is something I feel very important about. Is it's because I've traveled around. I've been around the world. You know, I've been to Asia and Europe and all this place, even Montreal. And one of the things that I notice is, you know, yes, it seems like everybody, everywhere I've traveled, everybody can speak English, and that's great. But they also speak several languages. I think that's so important because what it does is it forces somebody doing that to have kind of a different point of view. Or to at least see things from a different perspective. And I think that's lacking in the States. I think it's lazy in our education. It should be required, I feel, when you graduate at least high school, that you have taken another language, you know? It can do nothing but help in life, I think. And so I see artists like you coming in and putting that into the zeitgeist, if you will. Just think it's a good thing. And, you know, the more education these kids have, the better it's going to be, in my opinion,
I can definitely relate to that, you know, because I've been traveling around quite a bit, too, over years. And, you know, it's crazy. I got friends who live in, like, Luxembourg, and they have four official languages. And you're like, you're like, fluent in all of that? And they're like, yeah, well, you know, we learned them when we're five. I'm like, crazy, man.
Right.
You speak freaking, you know, German, Portuguese, French, and it's just like everything that they, you know, the craziest thing is, like, okay, well, we have three or four official languages, but then my dad's from Portugal, so I speak that too. You're like, man, what are you talking about? Like,
right.
Their countries are so close to each other, of course they're going to get to talk the other languages, you know? So it's just, so for us, you know, North Americans, it's a whole different ballgame because there's one language that's prior to, like, most of North America is speaking one language. You know, we got a section here that speaks French. You got Mexico down there. But, you know, in terms of, like, the amount of people, you know, obviously America and Canada being, like, very, very popular. And, like, Mexico has a decent amount of people now. By the way, probably Mexicans are going to make it, are going to make Spanish very important. Because the last time I was in L.A., I spoke Spanish as much as I spoke it, as much as I spoke English.
Absolutely.
Because of the, you know, the area I was with is somewhere near downtown. And when I was going to grocery stores and stuff like that to get some stuff to
eat. That's what's spoken.
I found myself in a situation where I was like, well, I think they're going to understand me better with their language.
Exactly.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month after $31.25 per month credit. Apply within two bills. Requires two new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Elvae Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
And, you know, you get – it's funny because I'll hear people complain about – especially here in the States. I've never heard Canadians complain about this, but I definitely have heard Americans, you know, oh, our language – I'm like, man, you don't even speak English properly. You don't need to be lecturing anybody. But, you know, again, education, not only with language, but it encourages travel, number one. And, you know, I don't know anybody – who's real racist or bigoted or anything that has traveled around a bit, that have seen a few things. Now,
well, it's kind of hard.
Hasn't
it's kind of
left...
hard to travel and still remain, you know, because if you end up in other countries and then you're like by yourself, or you're like two or three year old guys, and then you end up in a bar in like Qatar, or like, oh, because I don't know, I don't
True.
Think I'm gonna have any bars in Qatar though. I'm the wrong example, but like Greece,
right?
Like,
yeah, there you go.
You know, and then you end up with a bunch of Greek guys, and you kind of have no choice but to try and figure out something, because you like just a two or three, you're just gonna be like, man, like you know, you're not gonna may bring anything back from that travel if you don't try to, you know, have a conversation or anything and try to figure out, you know, what you know. One
right.
thing I love to do, like when I was traveling in India for the holidays, and
oh, wow.
you know, we had, oh yeah, it was a great trip, you know, but family trip. Matter of fact, we just decided no Christmas gift for anyone. We're just going to India for 3 weeks, just like.
It was, how cool is that? Man,
yeah, I know, right?
That's
well, the best gift ever. My parents are like that,
yeah.
too, man. It's just they've always been, you know, for as long as I remember, it's just all year they'd be like
wow.
packing up, you know, enough money for us to leave just like 3 or 4 weeks in July or August, and we'd be like going, and that's even before Airbnb. Like my mom would figure out in like 2000. A brother of a cousin of somebody who lives
right.
in Spain and actually rents his friggin' apartment. And she
right.
called to the guy through like the landline or some and any friggin' line that was actually able to reach over there and try to figure out how to rent that thing. And then we'd just go and live like Spaniards for like 3 weeks. It was just like.
Nice.
But you know, that's what made me, I think, in a way, because you know, right now, you know, like I keep saying, like, for me, I think the world is pretty much my home. Like any, you know, Europe, the States, everything. Like anywhere
right.
I go, it's just I don't have that sense of like, oh, these guys are weird anymore. You know,
right? Oh, a citizen of the world, and that's smart. You know, and I'm telling you, any
yeah,
parents out there listening, your kids, that's how they need to be. It's the best way, especially if they're going to be successful, because we live in a globe now. Especially with the
oh,
internet
yeah.
and
more than ever.
Oh, absolutely. Like, well, like you were saying with your music, you know, when you make, you know, when we live in an age of social media and whatnot, you can put a single out, put a video
mm-hmm.
up on YouTube, and, you know, 2 hours later, people in India or Madagascar or Mongolia or something are watching that and digging it, you know?
Next thing you know,
that wasn't always the case. Yeah, exactly. I've seen that happen
yeah.
over the last couple of years with different people. And, you know, the interesting thing that when I first started doing this show, I've been doing the show about 4 years now. And I remember the
yeah.
The second year I was doing it, I got an email from some cat in where the hell was he at? I think, yeah, Madagascar. Or no, I'm sorry. He was, I can't remember. Somewhere in Africa. I'm trying to, it was an M country and I can't remember it. Mozambique, that's where he was from. And he
oh,
said,
right.
hey, he goes,
oh,
I'm in this band. Would you, you know, consider playing our music? And so I listened to it and it was death metal. And I said, wow, a heavy metal band from Mozambique. I wouldn't have thought. You know, and it was really,
right, yeah,
for
right.
that type of music, really good. So I got this guy in the
right.
band. We had him on the show, him and the band, and, you know, via Skype. It was really cool. But it just goes to show that youth music and popular music, it's universal. Doesn't matter where you're from, people like a good
oh, yeah.
a tune, you know. And
for sure,
there's all kinds. And the cool thing is musicians like you just encourage that. You know, there's some kid not only in Nebraska that's going to hear your music and be inspired right now, but like you said, there's a kid that'll hear this in Brazil. And we'll be inspired. You know what I mean? And think,
mm-hmm.
I want to do what Raph's doing, man. How do I sign? I'm going to meet those girls at school. If I get a guitar, you will. Get a leather
right.
jacket, too. Make sure your hair is good. And you'll be just fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And try to be funny. If you can be funny, too. Oh, man. It's a killer.
Yeah, that's a win every time. Every single time.
Yeah, no matter where you're at, you know.
I know, right?
Oh, that's crazy. Well, so you've been doing,
I
mean, you've been in this. in this business for a while now. You've been, I mean, you're still quite young, but you, you seem to got a good handle on all this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, basically I started doing shows as a solo artist, if you will, for just a couple gigs before I put my band together when I was like 17 ish. So it's barely going to do like, it's going to be barely 9-10 years now that I've been in the market somehow, you know, trying to, you know, do some different things and everything. And you know, obviously, you know, it's different levels and different areas and all that. And, you know, since I was in a French market, you know, it's kind of hard because you have to work with and against it at the same time when you sing in English. You know, it's like politics are in there. You know, you got quotas on radios and all that. You know, so it's, you have to figure out a way to go like in and around at the same time and trying to figure out how you want to do your thing. But then at a certain point, you just realize that if you have the level and you're able to actually reach out to other areas of North America where they actually might be able to help you out in a better way, then you might as well go and try it out, you know. So I thought as a solo artist now I was ready to do that, you know, that jump.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's fantastic. And the new single, Can't Let You Go, man, that's a great track. Tell us a little bit about, we're going to play it here in a minute, but tell us a little bit about how Can't Let You Go came about.
Honestly, it was just a random, like, studio practice I was doing. I bought a new program that I wanted to work with. And, you know, I started going through stuff. I knew how to record stuff already, but then I just started playing with it because I realized I had a loop library with like a bunch of sounds and like pre-recorded drums and stuff like that, beats and all that. So I started looking through that, and then I found that weird-ish, like, synth Chinese violin sound that you hear in the track, and I was like, man, that's funny how I, like, sounds great, but, like, what can I do with that? And then I just started playing with some other stuff, and then I found, like, a drum beat, and, you know, when things just click, I call it 3 a.m. magic. It's just like, you know, when you, it's way too late, you don't even know what you're doing anymore, you're just clicking at random places, but it works out. So I was just, like, finding drums, and you know, it turns out the drums that I find are exactly at the same like tempo that the actual synth sound that I had. And I was like, all right, I guess it was meant to be or whatever. So I just put that together, and it was like, man, okay, I got a groove now. And it just stayed like that for a while. And then I just sat down with, you know, one of my old bandmates actually helped with doing the structure and everything. We wrote part of it together. He's actually the one who helped me with the bridge mostly, you know, cause he's a great guitar player. So he found a couple different things. And then, things worked out. And then I just brought that to studio and I started working with my producer from LA, matter of fact, Earl Powell. And, we just put things together and we just made it even better. And it turned out to be the way it is right now. And I'm very happy with the way it came out.
Well, it's fantastic. I love when things, when I paint, sometimes that happens and I celebrate it, you know, when it kind of flows through. And, cause that isn't always the case. And, you know, people, they don't realize cause they just see the finished product. And in your case, they hear the finished product and they're like, oh, he just had that idea and sat down and popped that out. Sometimes that happens, but man, it usually isn't the case. At least in my case, man, half the time I'm ready to pull my hair out and throw the canvas in the street and jump up and down on it. I haven't done that yet, but I've been close. you know, but when it does, when it happens and it's magic, you're right. There's no better feel. It's like a drug or something. You're like, oh, I wish it was this way every time.
And the feeling that kicks in every single time, you get really excited. You know, especially I don't know for me the fact that it's music, you know, and obviously like music being what it is, you know, it goes through speakers, but it's actually sound waves that actually goes through your ears, but it goes through your body as well at the same time. So you just pump the volume a little bit, and then you feel it everywhere, and you're like, ah, man, that's great. I got something, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring, it's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool. And if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. TheCRing.com.
And yeah. You know, and then you get to the lyrics, and people can relate to that. Yeah. You know, we've all been there. We've all known that I can't let you go person. At least I have.
Right.
I imagine.
Yeah. Well, I have to wait for any of those. I can tell you that.
I'm the same way, Ralph. Well, hey, let's play the track. Here it is, everybody. This is Can't Let You Go. Ralph Pilon, check this out.
I can't let you go. I'll never really be my shovel fire.
like this track, Can't Let You Go. It's a it's just fantastic. What I wanted to ask you about it is something I've noticed, and it's, you know, your generation, and I preface this by saying one of the things I really, really dig about millennials is you guys are not genre-specific, and you've embraced the idea of releasing singles as opposed to full albums and whatnot. And I like that as a listener and as a fan, because that means I get to hear new stuff all the time. And I really, really like that. As opposed to having to wait 2 years or something for, you know, new albums to come out and whatnot. Is that the plan, is to release singles, or are you going to do a, put them all together at some point into a big album?
I think we're still, you know, thinking about it somehow, but, you know, I like the fact of releasing singles because it's, you know, it's easier to just put, you know, put whatever you want people to hear when you put it out as a single or like an AD type of thing where you just pull out two songs and people listen to like the one they like best or whatever. But, you know, when you used to pull out an album and they had like 8 to 10 songs, it's because people back then used to go and actually buy the songs, you know, they pay like $10. So you'd be like, we're going to give you enough stuff for you to listen for your money's worth. But now it's like the game has changed completely, you know, so it's just, you might as well just go and, you know, keep them in the loop of, oh, well, I got this new track, instead of going like, oh, we're not going to pull out anything for a year and then we're going to send something at the end of the year, you know. At the same time, if I have like, you know, everybody has like shows that they plan at a certain time. Like I'm gonna start touring at some point, you know, in the next year or so or something. So I'm going to need to have songs that people are able to hear before I go. So, you know, I'm probably going to have, I don't know if it's going to be full on album or if I'm going to put out like an EP type of thing or something, maybe at some point.
Right.
We know for now it's a bunch, like for now, it's going to be a couple of singles to start with because we like it that way. And we have like different, you know, kind of like you said, you know, we have stuff that is different, a little bit from one another in the first songs too. So, you know, it all works with who I am as an artist. Obviously I'm the ones writing them too. So it just kind of makes sense, but, you know, I have different targets for, you know, in terms of season, in terms of like the feel it brings and everything. Like it's, you know, we have all that in mind when it comes to how we want to release a song or not.
Well, you know, the cool thing, another cool thing that I noticed, again, I'm down here by Miami, and we are electronic music happy down here. You know, we love it. We love it. Of course, any track we listen to, we're like, oh, that could be it. I'll tell you what it was, is when Lana Del Rey's Summertime Sadness came out, and it got mixed into a club mix. Everybody was like, ooh, we can do your music. I listen to it. I'm not just saying this. I could really see that lending itself to that type of reworkment or retreatment.
Yeah.
Can you see that as well? Different mixes and whatnot coming out of your music?
Oh, I mean, I could definitely see that happen. I mean, for me, it's always defined like, you know, if I'm to do a remix of a song in this genre or another, it's just a matter of like finding the right person that I feel or trust
to do it.
Somehow, you know,
right.
Well, I mean, you know, at the same time, I mean, anybody can just go out there and do a remix and I wouldn't even know about it because that's how it is now.
That's very true.
I don't know. It's a matter of decision.
Well, good
for
people.
Me,
good
as
people
an official
would have
one.
To. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, of course.
Well,
I
think it's fantastic. Ahead. And, you know, it's one of the things I really dig about your music is the use of computer programs and synths and whatnot. But you still have that, you know, the guitar in there and whatnot, and the traditional instrumentation and whatnot as well.
Can't take away the DNA.
No. And it works. The merging of those work really well together and
yeah,
really strong track.
I've always been trying to do that. always been trying to do that because I like, you know, I've always been, first of all, coming from, you know, like I said, my background is, technically my background is even more rock than what I'm doing as a songwriter. You know, mm-hmm. I used to listen to a lot of like hard rock, you know, I had even a heavy metal little, you know, stint in high school and stuff like that. So, you know, I got used to that. And, you know, for many years, I was like, if I was playing electric guitar, you never see me without distortion on. Like, it's just, but then, you know, I just developed and trying to develop other things. And then I started playing like more funky stuff and stuff like that. And there's actually some funky stuff you can hear in that, but I kept the distorted guitars in there and I kept the real drums in there. And it's just a matter of finding the right balance in, you know, between this and everything that you program at first, and you just put everything together to make it sound in a way that gets to the ears of like everyone in a good way, you know, because people are still going to be attracted to what they like, but if you give them the option of everything, then they're going to hear what they want, right? It's the same way I probably with like a painting. If you like blue, you're probably going to be drawn to the blue one, you know. So it's just like,
right.
So if I have real drums at a certain part and I have electronic kits and stuff like that and claps and all that, well, people are going to go like, oh, well, it's electronic. And people who like rock are going to go like, oh, okay, it's kind of a pop rocky song, you know. So exactly. I think it's a cool blend in that sense.
Oh, absolutely. And it's interesting, too. I mean, the reality is also that, you know, even if you listen to somebody, you know, like Ozzy Osbourne and stuff, you'd be amazed how many claps and electronic kits and whatnot are intermixed. You know, it depends on the producer, of course, but there's nothing wrong with different types of tools, you know.
Of course.
I dig it, you know. Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because then it can go the opposite way. You can have bands like Depeche Mode who, you know, when I was a kid, that's all they did was synth and electronic. And then they got to a point where they're like, okay, you know, they kind of grew as artists and they said, oh, we need some blues guitar in here. Well, yeah, it works great. You were right.
Right.
You know? And it's, you know, us as fans, we like it all, you know, that's cool. Now you'd mentioned touring, and I'm looking at your website, and I want to let people know, it's very easy to get to everybody. It's www.raffpylon.com, raffpylon.com. And on here, and I like this, Raff, I like this. You've got a couple shows already listed on here, upcoming shows for June. And that's, you know, really, that's only a couple months away. Tell us about these. You got a benefit concert and then another show on the 7th coming up as well.
Yeah.
What's going on with these?
Yeah. Well, the first one it's a benefit concert for a foundation here that they got in Montreal. You know, basically the whole show is to it's like a whole, you know, they try to bring people to just realize and kind of stop, you know, all intimidation and all those things. And it's especially targeted for, you know, like kids and teenagers and stuff like that. And, you know, they called me in and wanted to know if I wanted to do a couple songs. So I was like, yeah, well, sure. I can be part of the show. So I'm part of the show, and everybody's doing like a little performance. I think it's a 3-4 song kind of thing for every artist, and we're just going there to, you know,
nice.
To make like a cool lineup for people to come out. And I'm actually still, I think the press conference is actually in a week or so. So if ever people are in Montreal, they can go. It's in a place called Saint Therese. So I guess you can definitely get the info if you go on my website. And
nice.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Roxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique. LapothecaryUnique.com.
Apart from that, the other thing is a really cool thing is in Montreal we didn't really have those events that are, you know, like more music convention ish type of thing, you know. So it's a girl that I met who's been putting that in place. So it's basically it's going to be at the Olympic Stadium here. Like she went big, like right now, yeah. So she's definitely gonna.
Oh yeah.
She was definitely like, all right, I'm gonna do first edition. I'm gonna go all in. Like, all right. So, but it's definitely fun.
Love it.
You know, she's got most of the big artists from the French Canadian community. She's got a couple of artists like me that are like the oddities because we're singing English, but you know we're still there, so it's kind of fun. I think there's like openness in her, you know, in her like mandate, if you will, to have like really music for artists from Quebec and not just, you know, French. It's like everybody who has something to offer, let's just, you know, come around. And so basically it's going to be like a blend of like, there's going to be performances all day for the whole weekend, but it's also going to be a convention at the same time. People can come around and they go and see, there's going to be like music stores are going to be there. You know, artists are going to be there, studios. You can meet people, like you can meet producers. You can meet like a bunch of different people who are going to be there. So it's like a really fun event, I think, that we're going to be witnessing for the first time here in Montreal.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And folks, I'm telling you, those happen in June. What a great time. Yeah. What a great time. You could go, if you don't live in Montreal, you could go for a vacation. Montreal's beautiful around June. And stay for the week. See the first show.
Love it.
And then see the second one. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Good bookend on a good vacation to Montreal.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, I mean, listen, guys, if ever you're coming by Montreal any time of the year in the summer, the cool part about it is whatever week you come between June and August, you're going to have a festival because it's all summer long. Like back to back.
Nice.
But even the whole not, I wouldn't say downtown, but it's a little east of downtown. They have a whole area that's called basically the festivals place. And in the summer, they shut it all down for cars, so it's all pedestrian.
Right.
And they put on stages there, and all the festivals are happening there back-to-back, and it's just like all you can do there is just go and walk. And most of the festivals that happen in that area, they're free to enter. And there's just you have to pay for certain areas because there's like a big there's a big place there called Place des Arts in French, which basically means the arts place. And I think there's like five rooms in there with like five, it's like four or five venues that you can actually do a show in. So basically they're going to go do the festivals. Part of it will be in there. Those are the paid shows. But then apart from that, the whole outdoor stages, they're all free for everybody who just want to walk by and come see a show at whatever time. So it's like, we got the Jazz Fest that is part of that. That's one of the big ones. And we got a bunch of other ones just back-to-back, and it's really, really fun to see.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, and the cool thing about Montreal and Quebec in general is, it's such a almost European area when you go to visit. You feel like it reminds me a little bit of New Orleans. It kind of feels like a little bubble out of place, but it's so magical when you're there.
It's because New Orleans used to be French too. You know, that's the reason why it's called like that too.
Right. And it's just the food and the culture and everything is, and Montreal has that as well. There's a very artsy town. There's a lot of arts going on there. There's certain.
Definitely.
You get off the plane and you can feel it. You know, every city has its own vibe, but Montreal definitely has a welcoming, but artsy vibe too, and a lot of fun.
Best way to describe it in an easy way is I kind of find like Montreal is a curious blend of Paris and New York.
Right. Very true.
You know what I mean?
Very, very true.
It's like a blend of, like the urban North American side of things, especially from the East Coast, which is like, be in New York, or maybe Boston somehow. But like there's a little bit of Paris once you get like to the old town and everything. And plus the culture that, French people kept I would take away the attitude maybe from Paris, but the rest of it is really cool. And we kept it.
It's so true. I'm a big fan of Paris. Don't get me wrong. Of course, I tell everybody I'm Canadian when I'm there, but that's a whole other story,
Some people you definitely see they don't want to talk to you with your friends, but that's okay. You go to the next one.
Oh, absolutely. I remember my first time in Paris. We were on the metro, me and my ex-wife. And I'm like, she did not like, she was very disappointed in Paris, but, and it was different. You know, I think she thought it would be like a Disney version of what it was. So we're on the metro and she's like, I used to have this crazy, big, crazy hair. And, she's like, everybody keeps looking at you. And I said, well, I hope so, because it took me 2 hours to do my hair this morning. I didn't spend 2 hours for nothing here, Let them look. It was maybe that's why I get along so well in Paris, because I kind of have that similar attitude. Yeah, I don't know.
For sure.
But yeah, Montreal.
I've got a bunch of French friends. It's really fun, But most of my friends are not from Paris, though. They're from like every region around, and everybody says like it's a different game when you get there,
Absolutely.
People are totally different.
Oh, completely. One of the things I really enjoy about that area is they've got a huge hip hop scene, and if you think when you think hip hop in the States, you're thinking Snoop Dogg and all these types of things, and Paris and France in general have taken that culture times 10.
Yeah,
it's so much bigger and so much more intense, and it's just like you're in a movie every time you're hanging out with these people. It's crazy. Very cool.
True.
Well, I want to let people know, can't let you go. This is available, right? Wherever people buy, it's out now, I believe. Wherever people buy digital music, right?
No, crazy thing is maybe you didn't know, but you're actually getting right now a pretty much exclusivity because the song is actually going to be out on May 3rd.
Well, there you go. Hey, folks, I did not know. How about that? That just shows how cool we are. We got to play it. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait for it. And ladies and gentlemen, when it does drop to the public and whatnot here in like a week, I'll make sure to be posting links on my social media and my blog and all that to help get the word out. And I suggest if you dig Ralph's music, like and share. And when you go to his website, there's links to all of his social media. And, you know, get over there and you can check him out.
Pretty easy
on social media.
You know, you can find me at Raph Pylon for everything, you know, Facebook,
nice.
Instagram, Twitter, everything. So if you want to find me, you can find me there. It's fairly easy.
Well, it's fantastic. I'm over on his Twitter page now and I'm looking at him. He's sitting in a big chair. It's a big round chair. I don't know where you're at, but you're looking pretty cool there, man. A rock star.
Thanks.
It's a big hanging chair. It's pretty awesome. And here he is, and, you know, at a guitar store with a million guitars, just playing away. Very, very cool. Well, I can't wait to hear more. And let me ask you, I know we're doing singles and whatnot, and we're focused on this single right now, Can't Let You Go.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to – what's next down the pipe? Just because I want to hear more. That's, as a fan, I need to hear it, Ralph. I need to hear it.
What's next down the pipe? Well, like I said, we're planning on building a show. So, you know, we're going to, you know, try. I've got a lot of work to do here in Montreal for the next few weeks, I'd say, because, put all that together, get with the musicians and try to put things together to, you know, be able to tour at some point. I got part of this. And then the other part is we'll just keep working at, you know, making sure we get new songs out, the singles and everything. You know, we got a couple backed up because we did a lot of studio work in the last year or so. So now it's a lot of, you know, music for an artist. The funny thing is,
business.
Like, music is a part, and then business is another. And sometimes you have to do the business. And you know, that's the point where I'm right now.
Right.
I keep working on some stuff. I got some projects that I'm working on right now that I can't necessarily talk about just yet because it's not official, but I got some songs I'm working on right now that might be for a different type of project than just my, you know, it's still going to be for me as an artist, but it's going to be a concept again, some type of concept project. Might turn out into videos and stuff like that. We're still checking that out and might be able to pull that out in the next year or two. It's honestly, I think it's just too much for my head right now to wrap around, but I'm trying to figure out how to put that together.
Well, fantastic, man. Fantastic. Well, I know you got a lot going on. So, I want to thank you. I'm going to tell you this before I let you go though. And,
right.
You know, no BS involved here. You're real, real good at what you're doing, Ralph. So keep doing it, man.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Hey,
that's the plan.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be on the show. You know, I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me. It's really appreciated too. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, folks, we're up against the time. That's going to wrap things up for us tonight. Of course, this will be converted to a podcast, this episode. And, and all of that's when we clean it up a little bit and any mistakes we made, we fix and add our commercials and whatnot in. That'll be posted, of course, in about an hour, maybe an hour and a half,
right.
On all the various podcasting platforms. We're on like 100 of them now. The big one's Apple Podcast. So I want to ask our listeners, if you are listening to the show in the future, hello from the past, do me a favor. It helps me out tremendously when I'm talking to our advertisers. Like, rate and review, especially on Apple Podcast. Keeps us up at the top of the page, and, it just keeps the lights on around here, man. I really appreciate it. Very, very cool. And thanks for listening, everybody. Just keep doing your thing. Hey, and if you are here local in South Florida, remember tonight there's a fantastic charity event, Gateway Gala, the Festival of Giving. Get over there. They've got tons of really cool stuff in their silent auction, including a brand new tropical landscape painting by me. You can win that. I'm telling you, man, my future in-laws went to this last year, and they bid on a thing, and they won it. It was a weekend in Belize at a private beach house there with a personal chef and butler and all that kind of stuff, and they just had a ball when they went down there to that. So there's all kinds of cool stuff besides my new painting. That's pretty cool, too. I'm kidding. It actually is. So if you get a chance, you're in the area down here in South Florida, details of that are on my website, jamierocks.us. And, you can get over there. That's happening tonight from 7 to 10. So see you over there. Very, very cool. And everybody, once again, get over to Ralph Pilon's website, www.ralphpilon.com. And, like and share his social media, man. Very, very important. Very cool. We will see everybody tomorrow night. What is tomorrow night? House music night, Thursday. We've got a brand new podcast we're doing once a month here with Miss Monday DJing from LA. It's a 2-hour show. The first show is us talking to some people in the tech world and whatnot and the world of house music. And the second is a full hour set of her DJing, this month's house music set. So tune in tomorrow night. That's 10 o'clock here on the East Coast, 7 o'clock out in L.A. on the West Coast, and everywhere else at their local time. We will see you then. Thanks so much. And once again, everybody, Ralph Pilon, thank you so much, Ralph, for being on. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, man.
Talk to you soon.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.